Here's the managing general of the Toronto Blue Jays. On the day after Greek Independence Day, did you celebrate yesterday, Anthopoulos?
Huge party here in Florida.
Did you?
Great party. Great event. Great. You know, there's a lot of people in Florida that celebrate. It went down to Tarpon Springs, relaxed, enjoyed it. No, we didn't. We've been so tied up with the move stuff and didn't get a chance to. But you're the first person that acknowledged it and brought it up to me.
Hey, that's what I do. The only thing is, is the way things are this year. My question is on Greek Independence Day: is how long are they going to be able to keep it?
Well,
they got to get better.
Yeah, they definitely do, and they've been knocked down, but they will get back up.
All right.
And it's simply been a bad run, but they're going to be all right.
All right. So a couple of things in no particular order. Tolley is back as he's going to catch R.A. Dickey and be the number two guy. Bluntly and honestly, it makes sense to me.
Are you basically saying don't lie to me?
No. I'm saying, let me finish the sentence. I'm thinking at some point in the equation, if I'm Alex Anthopoulos, if I'm the manager of the club, I got to make this decision. At some point, I'm going to R.A. Dickey and say, look, this guy's here because we need a guy to catch your, stupid knuckleball. Who do you want? Did you go to R.A.?
Yeah, I don't know that if I was to go to R.A. that those would be the words that I would choose. But I did. You know what? Bob, you'd really show me something if you put him on the air and you phrased it that way.
There you go. I like it.
Well, it is a stupid knuckleball.
Yeah, as long as it works. But no, we did not go to him. We had Kratz basically catch R.A. the entire spring. That was absolutely the hardest the decision that we had with respect to the roster to break camp. Another week or 2 weeks, we may have changed our minds. I think ultimately it came down to Kratz played extremely well, caught R.A. fine. Clearly he's not up to par with Tolley because he doesn't have 600-plus innings of having caught R.A. like Josh Tolley has. So the debate was, are we going to go with the offense? Do we go with the guy that's the best receiver? And we went back and forth for days on it. And we ultimately said, at least to start, we're going to go with the guy that gives us the best chance to help our frontline starter. But again, that might change. And Eric Kratz can do the job. He certainly can swing the bat, and he had a very good spring.
Yep.
And last year we started with Blanco when we made a change back to Tolley a few weeks in. So both Tolley and Eric Kratz have options, and this decision can change again down the road depending on how Josh plays.
You may not agree with this next assessment, but I'm wondering, I believe your bench is pretty weak offensively. I think you could use another bat, another banger on the bench. But whether you agree with that assessment or not, did that play into this decision? Was it complicated by the fact that Kratz, you expect Kratz will deliver more offense than Tolley would?
And as you said earlier, to be blunt and to be honest,
yes,
I would say that your assessment is fair. And it's definitely an area that we certainly can shore up. And I agree, we would prefer to have a four-man bench. We would definitely prefer to have a little more thump. The fact that Josh, a few years ago with the Mets, offensively did some good things. He would walk. He would be able to make contact, put the ball in play. He could have productive outs. And we talked to him a little bit about that today, that we don't need him to go out and hit 300 or try to hit 20 home runs, just have productive outs. He wasn't able to do that for us last year, and he realized he's going to have to produce the time that he has. So I don't know how long we'll go with a three-man bench. We're going to start that way. Part of it is the fact that we're going to go with an eight-man bullpen because our starters, just to protect them early on coming out of spring training, but that can change fairly fast within a few days of the year where we may go back to a four-man bench and upgrade that area. And I know the focus is on the opening day roster as if that's going to be static and it's not going to change. But it really can. It can change within days. So I agree. The benches, we're not entirely comfortable with the bench. And when the opportunity presents itself, we'll look to get back to four.
We had you on, I think it would have been September, right, as the season was winding down. And you acknowledged at that point that maybe he hadn't paid enough attention to defense coming out of spring training and made it a priority. Does this decision taking Toley over Kratz, is that maybe a reflection on this year? We're going to put a little bit more emphasis on defense, particularly in the early part of the season.
I wouldn't say Toley over Kratz defensively because it's not so much Eric Kratz is a good defender. He can throw. He receives well. I think it's the fact that Toley has so much experience having caught RA. And the one thing you can't simulate in spring training is the ball moves that much more when you get in the dome. And obviously having his first few starts at Tropicana Field against the Rays and then obviously at the Rogers Center, we don't want to repeat what happened last year with the pass balls. And I'm not saying Eric Kratz, that was certainly going to happen, but we eliminate the potential for that to happen.
Right.
And getting him off to a good start and the entire team off to a good start is so important. But I will say, getting back to your question about defense overall, I think there's no question we've definitely put more of an emphasis on that. And that's why you see a guy like Ryan Goins, who's been named the everyday guy, at least to start. And again, he's going to have to produce to keep that job, but he's such a good defender, and we know that the bat is still a work in progress. And, not to say that we don't know necessarily what we're going to get from an offensive standpoint, but his glove is so good that we still think he can help us win a lot of games because of his glove, and we're going to go with that over the bat as we may have done in the past.
Yeah, no argument there. I've been a proponent of that since I saw
Goins. Yes, you have. I'm sure that's why Alex made that decision.
Well, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
All right, so you wanted to jump in there, AA?
No, I was just saying I know the perception is that I make all the decisions, and we do it collectively as a group, and trust me, we had a lot of heated debates these last 3 or 4 days, and, I involved our staff, obviously the manager, and, we will go back and forth on a lot of things, but... Now, like we were even talking about it today, none of the decisions we made was anybody, I'd say, adamantly against. I mean, I had my own thoughts on some things, but if the consensus was a certain way and it was close, I went with the group, and there were some other areas where it was close and I might break the tie. But when you're putting this together, the manager and the entire staff is very involved.
Well, and let me ask you, I've never been inside a baseball how the decisions are made. We've seen the movie Moneyball, the Art Howe character, and the Billy Bean character, and Billy Bean saying, "I'd really like you to play this guy," and the Art Howe character saying, "Yeah, I'll decide who makes up the lineup." I mean, is it that? I mean, somebody has to make the final decision, and I'm assuming it's you, but maybe sometimes it's John Gibbons who says, "Okay, I'll make the final decision." You can say it's a group decision, but somebody has to make the decision.
Sure, no, you're absolutely right. And you can always, Paul, our CEO, will always joke that when there's a decision to be made and he wants to go a certain way, he'll just remind everybody how the organizational chart looks.
That sounds like Beeston.
I'll say, check the organizational chart. And I'll say, all right, got it. Something like this, we may be debating, and I think everyone understands, from an organizational chart standpoint, I have the ability to say, no, we're going to do X. There's times I'll say, look, I might feel this way, but it's really close. And I'll tell Gibby, if you feel strongly, you make the call. Because it's close enough for me that I can go either way. And we have the ability to make changes going forward if things don't work out the way we expected.
All right, let's get – we sort of buried the lead there because probably the biggest story of the day was the announcement that Dustin McGowan is going to be the other starter. And I don't know whether he's the fourth or the fifth or where he's at in this equation. Clearly, he demonstrated over the course of the spring that he deserved to be a candidate. He threw, was it yesterday he threw in a minor league game, or was it the day before? I can't remember.
Yes, it was a day ago.
Okay.
Before an
eighth. Did he get to 65 pitches? Because I think that was the target.
Correct. He got to 62. He ended the inning at 62. We didn't send him out there again, but 62 was fine. And then the next time out on Sunday, we'll set up a sim game for him. We should get him to 75 to 80, and then, assuming everything continues to move as expected, should be ready to go 90 to 95 by opening day.
Did he earn this job based on his start yesterday?
I think that's very fair to say. And, the thing is, we have to make a decision ahead of time because the rosters need to be set, and his next turn to pitch is on Sunday, which coincidentally falls on the date that the rosters have to be submitted. So we needed to wait to see how he felt last night, needed to wait to see how he felt this morning. But ability-wise, talent-wise, there's no doubting what he can do. And we all believe he can match up with anybody. And the biggest, obviously, hurdle with him is health. And if he is healthy, and again, it's been an extended period here, dating back to last year, that he has had no issues at all. In the past, there'd always be some issues here and there. Maybe need a little more rest, be a little sore. He and I has not had a thing in quite a long time. And he continues to pass every test and feel very good. And he's completely on board with this. We weren't prepared to announce him early on in spring training as a viable candidate because we didn't want to put too much on him. And we explained to him that we were just going to explore this and where he was going to be in the bullpen, but at the same time, we would use spring training to see how many innings he could pitch and how he felt. And if things would progress well, then the possibilities would open up, which they ultimately did.
All right, bluntly, though, why didn't you make this decision last September or October? What was the downside in saying to McGowan, look, we want you to stretch out this offseason. We want you to come into camp with a mentality of and the process of being a starter? Because in my mind, Alex, the truth is that even if it hadn't worked, going back to the bullpen, nothing would have been lost. So why not make that call at the end of last season?
Well, we did. In the off season, I called him and we talked about it. And again, with a scenario like this, he's older, he's been through so much. He has to be fully on board. He has to want to do it. And I stress to him a million times the importance that he has to want this, because God forbid should something go wrong, he needs to feel like he was part of the process and this is something he wanted and we fully supported it. But his offseason was geared towards the potential to start. So when he was preparing himself in the offseason, even though we said, look, we're not going to give you a starting job. We have to see that you can get to three innings as the first hurdle, because he had done two innings multiple times last year in the minor leagues on rehab, and we knew he could accomplish that. But prepare yourself in the offseason as you would prepare yourself if you were starting. Come into spring training, and we will slowly build you up. Not at the same pace as the other starters, where they might come out two innings the first outing, four innings the next outing, and so on. We're going to go an inning at a time and take it slowly and just see how you feel. No expectations, not being rushed. Take your time and let's see how you feel. And he was all on board with it. He was excited about it. And I think it allowed him to quietly go about his work. I didn't think we had the McGowan watch every day coming up to him asking how he felt. And he could just quietly go about his work. And he continued to do a really, really good job, but we didn't want to put extra on him. But he did prepare in the offseason with the potential of starting with everything he did.
Now, I have to say this is an incredibly brave decision by you and the organization because, Alex, as you know, my colleague, Mr. McGowan here, believes that that position should have gone to the youngster Sanchez. And Bob will make his own impassioned case, but it does take courage for the Blue Jays to buck McCowan's thinking, and I think that should be acknowledged. But for the rest of us, why not Sanchez?
Well, the other point is, I thought, you know, when Bob was on our staff conference call last week, he made some great points. Some great points about Aaron being on the club, and that added some debate, but...
That was
Anthopoulos. There's only room for one comedian on this show, and it ain't you.
Got it. But no, I will say this. After Aaron's last appearance in Port Charlotte, where I believe he threw four innings or five innings, and he shut out the Rays, and he had the A lineup, and we have some staff members come back from that trip really campaigning for him to make the club, saying how good he looked and how Louis Rivera's telling us that Evan Longoria's telling him at third base, where'd this kid come from? Is he in your rotation? You know, how impressed they were. A lot of the hitters were really impressed. And that's great to hear. And that's not to say that he won't have a chance to be up here sooner than later. I think we're just going to take the prudent approach to start, and he'll make some starts in New Hampshire. And if he does well and he's really starting to roll, we won't be afraid to call him up. I mean, we've done it in the past. Drew Hutchison in 2012 pretty much came up middle of April or late April prior to being hurt, but he came up and we gave him the opportunity. So I'm not saying that will happen with Aaron, but if he's performing well enough and we have an opening at the time, we won't be afraid to call him up.
I want to get to a couple quick things, so quick answer to this one. Are you going to control Sanchez's pitch count, innings pitched at New Hampshire early on, given the scenario that you just painted? Because, the guy, it's going to be tough to ask him to go out and pitch 180 or 200 innings.
No doubt. And so right now, at least, he'll have a few turns in New Hampshire regardless.
Right.
I think just being able to come out of spring training, he'll probably be going 5 innings, maybe the first 2 outings. And then at that point, we'll look at it, see how he's doing, and we might have him go beyond that 6 innings and so on. But we haven't really said anything yet. We know that his first outing or two, just because of how he's been built up in the spring, will be 5 inning appearances. And then beyond that, hopefully with some success and feeling good and throwing strikes, we'll be able to get him to go a little bit further in the games.
Hutchison has looked great. Do you have any concerns about the amount of work he will get this year, given his medical situation?
We don't, because he's so far removed from Tommy John, and it's very similar in my mind to what we did with Sean Markham 2010. He had missed 2009 with Tommy John, and the 1-year anniversary of his Tommy John was, I think, July or August of 2009. Very similar to Drew. We didn't bring Sean back in September that year. He had the off-season arrest, came into camp, won the job as our opening day starter. I believe pitched 195 innings just because we watched. I think we skipped him a start or two just to try to watch so maybe he doesn't get into the 210 range. And he ended up putting up, I think, a 3.5 ERA for us. And I think Drew is capable of the same thing. So from an inning standpoint, I think the 180 to 200 is where we would have him. He's pitched 160-plus in the past, and he shouldn't have a problem getting to that. And he feels strong. Like you said, he's throwing the ball great. And I really expect him to have a great year for us.
You worried about Morrow?
No, not right now. If anything was to happen, obviously there'd be some concern. But I think the one thing is, I was asked about him today. I know his ERA may not look great in spring training, but his stuff's been outstanding. His delivery looks good. I think Brandon looks really good right now. So the key for him, obviously, is to put together a full year and to be the guy that we saw in 2012 that looked like he was on his way to the All-Star game before he pulled his oblique.
Last question. Last question. Sure. Any doubt in your mind that Reyes is going to be fine?
No doubt. The question is he playing on Friday or Saturday? But right now, the thought is that he might be DHing on Friday just to get some at-bats. But I don't have any doubts, unless something changes, that he'll be ready for opening day.
Listen, thanks as always. And the little bit of humor that you tried to inject into the show was probably appreciated by a lot of people other than me. But
yeah. He's for a Greek guy, pretty funny.
Yeah, well, and we'll see you at the home opener. All right.
Yes, sir. All right, guys.
Thanks, Alex. Bye bye.